Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through an open line Friday. Want to let you know we'll take some of your calls today. 800-282-2882. Much to come. Joe Biden scheduled to address the nation again momentarily before he heads off on yet another vacation to the beaches of Delaware. And there is a lot going on, obviously, in Afghanistan. Also, more to discuss on COVID. In the third hour of this program, we will have Alex Berenson, who has been really incredibly forward-thinking in terms of analyzing the data and telling us where we are headed. And I'm excited to hear what he thinks the weeks ahead are going to bring to bear. But Joe Biden's presidency in tatters in many ways, as this has been one of the worst weeks for any American president in generations, as Afghanistan continues to spin out of control. And things have gotten so bad for Joe Biden, in fact, that even his allies in the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and with the exception of Joy Reid and MSNBC, even people there are turning on him, including Maggie Haberman, who effectively said Joe Biden has been lying. She's with the New York Times. Here's what she said.
The administration has given a number of different reasons as to why it was that the evacuations out of Afghanistan did not take place sooner. And those are often in conflict. And sometimes they're blaming Afghans. Sometimes they're blaming processing in the U.S. system. Sometimes they are blaming the Trump administration. And there is no clear through line. I don't think it's hubris. I don't think that that is what this is. I do think it is a policy choice that President Biden has stuck with for some time and been consistent about. But he said something publicly that did not turn out to be true. And at the end of the day, public officials get judged based on that. And they have yet to give a coherent answer as to why things went wrong the way they did and how they want to try to fix them.
Clay, this is what's so difficult about trying to analyze what's really happened with the Biden administration on this issue, because They keep changing the story, right? You recall we were here together on the show just a couple of days ago. They introduced this, oh, well, we had no choice because the Taliban was advancing so rapidly this year, meaning back in like April and March.
Yes.
That U.S. forces were going to have to be deployed en masse in order to meet them in the battlefield. It wouldn't have been enough just to give air. Now, we could have a whole, but that's a whole separate conversation than what we were told initially. It's not what we were told in July when Biden said they would fight,
yes.
Right? And so that undermines that narrative. And then it was, I can't even keep it straight. Neither can Biden. He says 4 days, 40 days, you know, whatever. But a couple of days ago, it was, we prepared for every contingency. Clay, that is, and this is from people that I'm talking to who are in contact with folks right now in Kabul today. That is a lie. Biden is lying to us when he says that.
He's lying, and the American public is taking note. Because one of the questions we had early this week, Buck, on Monday, when this whole Afghanistan mess started to unspool itself, we said, hey, it's a long way away. There are a lot of things going on domestically. How much is the American public going to pay attention to the situation in Afghanistan? And the answer has been a great deal. And we're starting to get some of these early poll results. Joe Biden underwater in terms of people who are approving of his presidency, even in the polls that we know that can be highly inaccurate. But what's significant here, Buck, is I think we're seeing many people who are reasonable Democrats, and I do believe some of them exist, swing voters, independents. We already knew most of our audience knew that Joe Biden was not up to this job. But what they're seeing, Buck, is the lies of Afghanistan are connecting with the lies on inflation, with the lies on the border, with the lies on COVID, and they're all spiraling together. And Joe Biden's big calling card was, you can trust me, I will make things normal. And what many Americans are now saying is, well, we can't trust this man in this administration. And far from making things normal, abnormal has become the coin of the realm. He's not making things go back to what they were like several years ago when calmness might have existed.
Clarissa Ward, who is the CNN reporter, who is, look, I call balls and strikes. I give credit where it's due. She's the one person that I've seen in years who makes CNN look like it actually sometimes does news. Credit where it's due.
Yes.
She's single-handedly, you know, bringing the reputation of that entire news organization up from the ashes. But anyway, she's on the ground doing a lot of reporting right in and around the Kabul airport. And here she is on the reality of this evacuation. Remember, Biden says they prepared for every contingency. This is going according to plan. You know, it's a little bit like Frank the Tank. Keep your composure, you know.
Old school.
Everyone keeps
old
their composure.
Old school reference for a nice Friday.
It is not prepared. They did not prepare for every contingency. But anyway, here's Clarissa Ward play.
I've now spent more than 12 hours watching this whole process as it plays out, and it is very disorganized. And privately, you know, off the record, these guys will tell you that. It's totally disorganized. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. It's an enormous operation. There are many different nationalities involved. You know, we've seen planes from the Romanians, the Hungarians, the French, the Italians. There's so many different contingencies who are involved. You have multiple entrances to this airport. You're trying to negotiate with the Taliban, deal with your NATO allies. And frankly, so far, I mean, it's just about moving along. But I was shocked when I came today, because listening to the talking points that I was hearing from the Pentagon and the White House, I thought this whole thing was moving along swimmingly now.
This is her today, Buck, saying what she's seeing on the ground. And I want to build on your praise a little bit, because we do try to call balls and strikes and be fair, unlike many other people in the media. This is when journalists actually have real value, Buck. When they can bring you, with their ability on the ground, information that doesn't exist elsewhere. I'm not talking about people who want to spread propaganda and talking points. What she is doing right there on the ground in Kabul with almost no one else around is she is illuminating the disconnect between the Pentagon, the White House, the State Department, all of these talking points that they are putting out and that Joe Biden's probably going to put out again, an actual reality on the ground, which is the essence of the job. Bring us better information than we would otherwise have and show us what's really taking place. She deserves a lot of praise. High risk. I know you've had interaction with her before, Buck, but this is where journalism can actually be valuable to the masses,
right?
Well, in a big way.
I always say that journalism is essentially a fiction in this country, but there are some journalists. They do exist. They just are,
yes,
about 1 in 100 of the people that go around calling themselves journalists. But back to the crisis here, not just the imminent situation in Afghanistan. By the way, you have no flights now. Oh, sorry. Evacuation flights. As I'm saying this, they say, oh, they're actually going to start back up. They hadn't had any for, I believe it was 8 hours, had been just
eight
been reported
hours
in the last. So they had no evacuation flights going out. Now they're restarting the evacuation flights soon. We don't know what exactly that means, but they say it'll happen soon. But, you know, Clay, this is where you pull back and you say leadership, when it comes to foreign policy in particular, the presidency really matters. When it comes to what we're seeing play out here, it's the guy at the top who's making the decisions. And people are seeing this and understanding this is a really bad situation. This is something where you must lose. I don't just mean the situation on the ground. I mean, who's in the White House? You have to lose confidence. If you were somebody that believed Joe Biden knew what the heck he was doing, was a steady hand on the wheel, I want any other hand on the wheel than Joe Biden right now. It's a disaster.
Not only that, we should mention the 8 hours, because I know time zones are complicated. This is no flights taking off for 8 hours during daylight, which would theoretically be the safest time for people to be able to enter into the airport, and also the safest time for flights to be taking off, because as anyone out there would know, as you get into it being dark, danger increases exponentially there. And so this is a failure of daylight in terms of being able to get people able to take off. And it's going to continue to run the reality of what life is on the ground right now in Kabul is going to continue to disconnect and create this discordant symmetry between what the story is coming out of Washington, D.C. and the Biden administration and what the reality is on the ground in this incredibly pressure-packed and dangerous moment. Biden to speak soon. And then, again, I think we have to keep hammering this, Buck, because it's significant. Then he's going to go on vacation over the weekend. Don't you want this guy in the White House? Right. Whoever the president is, monitoring this on minute-by-minute basis?
Shouldn't he not be, you know, on the golf course getting updates occasionally from aides? I mean, you would think that a White House, I'll say this, the Obama administration, for all of the enormous criticism that I gave them for 8 years, they were pretty into the optics. You know, they would try to manage the perception of the, and they had a tremendous amount of help because the media was in their pocket and all the rest. I get it. But this Biden White House, the media is all on their team too, but they seem so incompetent that they can't even control the optics. And that's why that photo, for example, that was put out of Biden sitting in the Camp David command center or whatever. It just,
by himself.
It looked ridiculous. But we're going to come in a few moments here. We believe, I mean, Joe Biden's supposed to make remarks any moment. We'll bring you into those. And I don't know, Clay, maybe they're actually going to start covering the border because that crisis, I think the media feels like isn't quite as bad as the one in Afghanistan. So they might switch. I don't know, because there's nothing that they can say about this that doesn't make the current favored administration by 95% of journalists doesn't make it look like this is a catastrophe unfolding before us. We'll come back into also with COVID numbers. Biden is obsessed, Clay. And I know you.
Yes.
First of all, I think he's obsessed with you and your Tennessee mask insurrection. And I'm a little bit concerned.
I think that's for sure right.
I'm a little bit concerned that all of a sudden, you know, the black helicopters are going to show up for Clay and we're going to have to bust you out of undetermined classified site somewhere where they're holding my buddy Clay.
I'm
going to
be
a
gitmo.
This audience will bust you out. No problem, man. We'll get you out of there. But, the Biden administration's obsessed now with masking kids. They feel emotionally invested in this. Biden himself, we'll come into that in a minute. But, you know, the more than 500-mile journey through six states in 42 days to honor the 9/11 fallen is underway. Frank Siller, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation founder, laid a wreath at the Pentagon and started toward Shanksville. Along the route, he's joined by 9/11 families, veterans, first responders, and the foundation's program recipients. Parades are planned in several cities to honor the fallen and the community's local heroes, Clay.
Yeah, and on the morning of 9/11, Frank is going to retrace his baby brother Stephen's footsteps 20 years after 9/11, walking from the tunnel into downtown Manhattan to where the tower stood. His brother was one of 343 members of the fire department of the city of New York who died. 2,977 people killed. So many more have died since from 9/11 related illnesses. September 12th, the foundation's reading their names out loud as well. Another ceremony is planned for Veterans Day. Those who have lost the war on terror, lives will not be forgotten. And that's why we want you to help America keep its promise to never forget. Honor heroes by donating $11 a month at T2T.org. One more time, just $11 a month at T2T.org.
He is obsessed with having the government force kindergartners to wear masks all day in school. In Florida, we believe that that's the parents' decision. Joe Biden thinks the federal government should come in and overrule the parents and force these young kids to wear these masks. And you gotta wonder, where are your priorities that you're so obsessed with this issue and so obsessed with taking away parents' rights and you're letting Afghanistan burn, our border burn, and so many other things?
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. That was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida on Sean Hannity's show last night on Fox, just pointing out what I think is obvious to anyone who's paying attention, which is that the Democrats, the Biden administration, have decided that masking up children, I mean, this is like the Alamo for them. I mean, this is the last stand of the COVID resistance. They're completely dug in on this. When all that the Biden line on this, Clay, for the last time he spoke about it, which was yesterday, the day before, it's a lie that there are mask bans in schools. There are no mask bans. There are governors who are saying parents should make the choice So essentially, there are no mandates, but banning mandates, they pretend, is the same as banning masks because it gets them into their safetyism place of, oh my gosh, they want all the children to die. These people are completely nuts. The data doesn't support what they want to do, but you can tell that they're very invested in this, Clay. And I believe at some level it's because if a state like Florida has kids unmasked, when they look at the data after the first 6 months of the school year, it'll be clear that in New York, where they're going to mask kids up, they might as well put like saran wrap over their head on top of the mask, on top of, you know, it's crazy what they're doing. They're going to see the data and they're going to say, oh, it doesn't actually do it. The mandates don't do anything. I think they're terrified of that because they're going to look stupid because they are stupid.
That's right. And I say this, you guys know, last week I went and spoke at my own school board. We've won that battle in the short term in my home state of Tennessee. I think it's a couple of different factors here, Buck. One, if you want your kids to be in person for schooling, starting off without them wearing masks is important because it shifts the battleground. Instead of the battleground being, hey, are schools going to be open or not, you can fight on masks, which is a level beyond are schools going to be open or not. I think that's significant. I also think there are lots of reasonable people out there, parents like me who care about our kids more than anything, that would do anything to keep them safe, that look at the data, know that there is nothing in any way that suggests that masking is making anybody safer. And if you doubt that, look at what's going on in Oregon. Look at what's going on in Hawaii. Look as the number of cases is going to spread into many of these blue states, which have been masking like crazy. And they are afraid, to your point as well, Buck, that if you have a control group, right? If everybody does the same thing, there's no control group to prove that masks don't work. If you have a control group, and that's in Florida, and it's in Texas, and it's in Tennessee, and it's in many other states with strong Republican governors who are standing up for parental choice, that is a significant attack upon the global hegemony of COVID fear porn insanity, which is being driven by the Biden White
House. Can I just also tell everybody, there's more and more of these stories now that are coming out for people who say, oh, I just, you know, I'll find a way around some of these the vaccine mandates. And we're talking about masks. They're arresting people. I mean, you could say this is deterrence prosecution, yeah. But they've arrested people for either trying to sell or even now use, you know, those little CDC paper cards. So this is going to become another real battleground. This is crazy, folks. They're arresting people based on stupid interpretations of data that aren't even, I mean, they're arresting people that have COVID antibodies because they won't get the shot, but they don't want to bend the knee to the vax. The whole thing's nuts, Clay. We'll come back into this, and maybe Biden will actually show up for his own remarks in a few minutes. Who knows?
Yeah, it's crazy he's not even showing up right now. But are you worried about online privacy? You should be, like I am, like Buck is, like many of our listeners are right now. You need ExpressVPN because they will make sure that you can have online anonymity when you're active online. They use what's called a virtual private network. That's a VPN for short. Every time you use ExpressVPN, you are able to stay anonymous. They can't track you. They can't take advantage of your data. And they will make sure that you are able to protect yourself. It's wildly easy to use. You tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. You can take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust. Go online today at expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. By visiting our link, you get an extra 3 months free with a 1-year package. 15 months for the price of 12. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to protect your data today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you guys across the country hanging out with us on an open line Friday. We're going to get to a few of your calls here. We've got a loaded third hour of the program. Alex Berenson, who has been better about sharing the data and analyzing it for the last 18 months surrounding COVID than anybody. But he's saying things that sometimes make him a target in such that a lot of media are not even able to talk with him or share any content. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're also scheduled to talk with Jay Cutler, former NFL quarterback who lives near me, anti the idea of kids having to wear masks. And as a result, he lost his Uber endorsement because he said, hey, there's no benefit to kids wearing masks. So that is what's coming in the third hour of the program. Still awaiting Joe Biden, who has not yet appeared for his scheduled press conference. He is now over a half hour late, I believe, for that.
Is Biden hiding? Because that wouldn't be the first time, Clay.
Yeah, and he's scheduled. It's also cutting into his vacation time because he's scheduled to immediately hop on a helicopter and fly to Delaware and be able to kick his feet up on the beach. We are, by the way, I am out in Las Vegas. Buck, as we roll into the weekend, you've got your brother's wedding that you're getting ready for in New York City. And I've got to go try to play against Ted Cruz and Mr. Beast and a WWE superstar and all these other Michael Phelps celebrities in poker, such that I am right now memorizing poker strategies, Buck, in commercial breaks to try to be prepared for this. It's going to be on television eventually in Vegas. But I'm out here in the city of sin.
Yeah, you just got to watch Ted Cruz's beard. That's the tell, my friend. When the beard, you know, and he gets a little itchy under there, that's, I'm telling you, you're going to know what kind of hand he's got. And yeah, my brother's wedding is going to be beautiful here in New York City. There are vaccine passports now in effect at pretty much all restaurants in Manhattan. I mean, that's the situation. There's photos all over the place now of people. Just like, you know, when you were a kid. I mean, Clay, I'm sure you never had a fake ID. Of course, right?
I never would have dreamed of it, Buck. But why never. Would I ever? I don't. Why would I try
Clay,
to drink
Clay
alcohol
would not,
before I'm
would
21?
Not violate the sanctity of government documents, and neither would I. But I mean, let's just assume we had fake IDs back in the day at one point because we wanted to drink before we were 21. And you had to wait in those lines. And sometimes the bouncer, if there were two bouncers, they would kind of, one would be at the front and then one would work the line. That's what's going on now in some places. They'll have staff. You know, the maitre d' of a restaurant or whatever will be there, and then they'll have somebody else who's coming as they're checking you in to check your vaccine passports. Even though, and we're going to talk to Alex Berenson about this in just a matter of a few minutes, the vaccines now require boosters, which means, for everybody, just so we're clear, the vaccines don't work as well or as long as they promised you. That is a fact.
And nobody right now is fully vaccinated because you haven't been able to get your booster yet.
No such thing.
I read today as well, Buck, you know, we talked about the different cities, San Francisco, L.A., New Orleans, breaking out these new rules, Washington, D.C., New York City, Philadelphia. They're saying, and this is what we talked about, and it's like people don't understand how businesses work, that 20% of New Orleans restaurants and bars that managed to barely survive the COVID lockdowns are not going to be able to survive vaccine passports and maintain their business.
And
this is where it's just infuriating.
There's also, beyond all this, there needs to be an enormous mindset shift here, because they get away with this stuff under the continuing premise, the false premise, that we're making a trade-off because they're keeping us safe. That we're
That's
doing
right.
all these terribly annoying, economically destructive, freedom-trampling things because it's saving lives. The reality, as you and I know, Clay, is that in almost all of these cases, the things that they're instituting, making people do, aren't saving any lives, aren't stopping any COVID, and even in some of the things, like we talked about plastic barriers, they maybe making things worse than they would otherwise be. We'll come back into this. We know it is Open Line Friday. We wanted to hear from some of you. This is a really interesting call we need to get to. 800-282-2882 for any of you who want to get in here on Friday. Jim in Florida, a Marine vet who has a translator outside the gate in Kabul. Jim, tell us what's going on.
Yes, I'm a Navy CB vet. I was embedded with the India Company's 3-6 Marine 2nd Platoon, one in 2010 and then again in 2011. Now, our translator, he gave us a word-by-word translation. That's why we trust him. He didn't give us a summary. And he's outside the gate right now as we speak. And he tells me, just before I called you, that there are about 6 flights a night. There's nothing happening in and out during the day. And I told him to look for a French or an English convoy, because they are leaving the tarmac and they are picking up the friendlies and their citizens and taking them to the airport. And I said, the Americans are not. I said, the colonel in charge there has said that you're damaging the relationship that they're trying to build with the Taliban government by going outside and getting their citizens. So I didn't have the heart to tell him that he's screwed. But that's right where he's at right now. I'm trying. My congressman, Congressman Posey, his office told me that there are flights out of India, U.S. government flights, military, going into Kabul and picking up refugees and taking them back to India. And out of Istanbul, Turkey, and another part of Turkey also.
Sorry to cut you off, but thank you for the update of what's going on. We played some clips from right outside of that Kabul airport, and I think what you're hearing, and you just heard from our caller there, is the chaotic situations that exist right now are really creating all sorts of major issues going forward, Buck, for, again, Clarissa Ward on the ground reporting right now that there are no flights for 8 hours that have taken off. And as a result, this is a major, major issue. Maybe that's one reason why Joe Biden's not addressing the nation as he was scheduled to do, Buck, because they're aware that they've got even more of a mess on the ground today than maybe they anticipated.
The lateness, I have to assume here, and maybe you can't assume anything about this Biden administration. Maybe it's so under just duress and wildly incompetent that the normal analysis you would do, I think it's possible that we're not even in a normal White House analysis situation anymore because of what we're seeing here with Joe Biden. That's been the case, I think, for a while. But Clay, to be this late on an address like this, you have to think that it's because there's either some last minute back and forth about what the messaging should be, meaning that they're really unsettled and uncertain about it, or they're trying to get up to speed with events on the ground and not have another debacle where they say things that a day later or maybe even an hour later, we realize, oh, well, that wasn't true. They're really not in charge. Let's get Riscala in Florida, another Florida caller. What's up, Riscala?
Hey, guys. I just want to let you know, as a veteran of the Vietnam War, what is happening today is absolutely unacceptable. In the short time that this man has been a president, he has driven our country to the lowest depth that it's ever been in the history of our country. We've left over $1 trillion worth of equipment there in Afghanistan. Guess who that's going to be used against? What about all the people that we left there, that we gave them our word? We have your back. And here we are stabbing them in the back instead of covering their back. This is totally unacceptable. What happened to the 70 million people who supposedly voted for Trump? Where the hell are you people, man? You all should be speaking up right now. We should be up in arms with these people. We cannot allow this to continue.
Riscala, we appreciate it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people fired up. And Buck, right? I mean, I think the combination of what's going on with COVID, what's going on at the border, what's going on with the collapse of the inflation. People are fired up in a way they haven't been in a long time.
Riscala, thanks for calling from Florida. And Clay, just to your point about everyone being fired up, I'd say Americans now, the ones who are paying attention, have their eyes open, understand that our freedom, this is on the COVID side, our freedom is under greater assault than it has ever been in my lifetime, no question about it.
Yes.
And simultaneously, what we're seeing in Afghanistan is the people in charge are morons. So your freedom is under assault and the people in charge are morons. That does not make for a happy American populace, at least for those of us who aren't the brainwashed sheep who just want to be safe and fed and warm and everything else is the same to them. It doesn't matter to them at all. Also known as, MSNBC and CNN watchers. But we'll come back, maybe, Clay, with Biden's live remarks on Afghanistan. If he just, I don't know. Does he feel like being president today? Not clear at this point.
He's 45 minutes late. And what we want you to know is if you're with AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, you're paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk, exact same network, using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. In fact, Pure Talk can save the average family over $800 a year. And switching is easy. My 13-year-old has got an iPhone 12 on the Pure Talk network. We love it because he gets unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And for a lot of parents out there, this matters in a big way. If you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. How do you sign up, Buck Sexton?
It's so easy. Just listen to me right now from your cell phone. Just take out your phone, dial pound, but not if you're driving, safety first, but dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk. That's right. From your cell phone, dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. That's pound 250. Say Pure Talk. Just say it in your phone. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto dial text message from Pure Talk, and you'll be able to possibly save $800 or more a year, right, starting right now. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Right now, live, President Joe Biden addressing America, about to start in seconds. Here he is. Let's join him.
Secretary Blinken, Secretary Austin, National Security Advisor Sullivan, and other members of the National Security Leadership Team, the Situation Room, to discuss our ongoing efforts to evacuate American citizens, third country civilians, Afghan allies, and vulnerable Afghans. And I want to provide the American people with a brief update and this, on the situation in Afghanistan. Since I spoke to you on Monday, we've made significant progress. We've secured the airport, enabling flights to resume, not just military flights, but civilian charters and other from other countries, and the NGOs taking out civilians and vulnerable Afghanis. And now we have almost 6,000 troops on the ground, including the 82nd Airborne, providing runway security, the Army 10th Mountain Division standing guard around the airport, and the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit assisting the civilian departure. This is one of the largest, most difficult airlifts in history. And the only country in the world capable of projecting this much power on the far side of the world with this degree of precision is the United States of America. We've already evacuated more than 18,000 people since July and approximately 13,000 since our military airlift began on August the 14th. Thousands more have been evacuated on private charter flights facilitated by the U.S. government. These numbers include American citizens and permanent residents, as well as their families. It includes SIV applicants and their families, those Afghans who have worked alongside us, served alongside of us, gone into combat with us, and provided invaluable assistance to us, such as translators and interpreters. The United States stands by its commitment that we've made to these people, and it includes other vulnerable Afghans, such as women leaders and journalists. In fact, working in close coordination with the management of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, we have successfully evacuated all 204 of their employees in Afghanistan on U.S. military aircraft earlier this week. We've established the flow of flights, and we've increased the number of people we're moving out of the country. We paused flights in Kabul a few hours this morning to make sure we could process the arriving evacuees at the transit points. But our commander in Kabul has already given the order for outbound flights to resume. Even with the pause, we've moved out 5,700 evacuees yesterday. And we're working on a variety to verify that number. The Americans are still in country as we work on this because we're not don't have the exact number of people who are Americans are there. And those who may have come home to the United States, we want to get a strong number as to exactly how many people are there, how many American citizens, and where they are. Just yesterday, among the many Americans we evacuated, there were 169 Americans who got over the wall into the airport using military assets. We're also facilitating flights for our allies and our partners, and working in close operational coordination with NATO on this evacuation. For example, we provided overwatch for the French convoy bringing hundreds of their people from the French embassy to the airport. These operations are going to continue over the coming days before we complete our drawdown. We're going to do everything,
everything that we can to provide safe evacuation for our Afghan allies, partners, and Afghans who might be targeted if because of their association with the United States. But let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home. But make no mistake, this evacuation mission is dangerous. It involves risks to our armed forces, and it's being conducted under difficult circumstances. I cannot promise what the final outcome will be, or what it will be, that it will be without risk of loss. But as Commander in Chief, I can assure you that I will mobilize every resource necessary. And as an American, I offer my gratitude to the brave men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces who are carrying out this mission. They're incredible. And as we continue to work the logistics of evacuation, we're in constant contact with the Taliban, working to ensure civilians have safe passage to the airport. We are particularly focused on our engagements on making sure every American who wants to leave can get to the airport. Where we have been seeing challenges with Americans for Americans, we have thus far been able to resolve them. We've made clear to the Taliban that any attack on our forces or disruption of our operations at the airport will be met with swift and forceful response. We're also keeping a close watch on any potential terrorist threat at or around the airport, including from the ISIS affiliates in Afghanistan who were released from prison when the prisons were emptied. And because they are, by the way, make everybody understand that the ISIS in Afghanistan have been the sworn enemy of the Taliban. I've said all along, we're going to retain a laser focus on our counterterrorism mission, working in close coordination with our allies and our partners.
All right, we're going to continue to watch this for you, monitor it, and if he takes questions, which we'll find out in a matter of moments here, we'll have that for you. We come back. Also, Alex Berenson, Clay, and I will dive into the latest on COVID vaccination numbers, the vaccines, the boosters. That's all coming up in a big hour three. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.